The New York Times' recent 13 Ways to Be a Better Person in 2020 started with Be Jonathan Van Ness. We agree. We spoke with Jonathan back in March. It may inspire you today. The sound of balls dropping through chutes in the audio kinetic sculpture at Boston's Museum of Science.
Really, when I was driving.
But that's not why hundreds of people are lined up for the night's sold-out event. Who has brought all of them to a science museum? Who could it be?
Jonathan Van Ness.
Not a physicist, not a someone who's climbed Everest.
No, Jonathan Van Ness,
an American treasure.
Fabulous.
Jonathan Van Ness is one of five fabulous guys on the Netflix hit Queer Eye. Each has an expertise. Jonathan's is hair, his is long and flowing. Every episode, they give someone like the lonely dump truck driver Tom a physical and emotional makeover.
Confidence is sexy. Like, knowing who you are is sexy. You're such a sweet guy, and you do have a lot to offer. But if you don't make it seem like you know that you have a lot to offer, like, no one else is going to really, like, give you the time of day.
Right.
Doesn't my hair look insane?
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
But it's fierce. I don't care. See, confidence.
That's something Jonathan has had for a while. Jimmy Kimmel recently found a tape of a sixth grade Jonathan Van Ness growing up in Quincy, Illinois, performing a figure skating routine on a school stage with no ice. He could not skate, but Jonathan, referring to his younger self as her, was thrilled to see it.
You were very confident.
Look at her!
I mean, you're actually good at it.
Oh, my single axle, bitch, yo!
Yep, a slightly pudgy kid leaping and spinning on a grade school stage. Laugh if you want. He now has a stand-up comedy tour centering on his Olympic skating ambitions, and he skates with Michelle Kwan.
When you're standing on the edge... And
stop. I said 6, 7, 8.
I'm never going to get these jumps together in time for my tour. How did you handle the pressure on your way to becoming America's most decorated figure skater of all time, Michelle Kwan?
Not talking so much. Come on. Let's go.
Hi. It's not this outfit for the show. Don't worry. Hi.
Oh, yes. Back to the Museum of Science, where we greet Jonathan and are enveloped in a cloud of hair, hugs, high heels, which he prefers. He also has a hit podcast, Getting Curious, in which he interviews whoever he wants. Tonight, it will be MIT economist Darren Acemoglu. He's interviewed stress experts. Once he and physics professor Alan Weinstein tried to imagine what two black holes merging would sound like.
So the whole thing is a chirp. You want to do it with me?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll do it and you see if you can do it. Right. It's going to go like this. Whoop. Whoop.
Tell me about how you come to this, the podcast and the things you're curious about.
My grandmother instilled a very thorough sense of curiosity in me. She's just like a very inquisitive woman, and I think she really turned me into like a naturally born student.
But I understand it's six generations of people who have been in newspapers, broadcasting
in
the Midwest.
Yes, yes. So I think the idea for Getting Curious kind of just came from me being behind the chair, like doing hair for 10 years, that I was like, you know what? I want to nurture this curiosity. Like I would, for instance, I did this woman's hair who was an evolutionary biologist. She was like, I got to go. I was like, I need to know about the third mass extinction. Like, you got to talk to me about this. I'm like, there was five? Like, she's like, well, some people argue six. But I was like, I had her on in like the first season.
Working with hair is one of the most intimate, connective things you can do.
Yeah. And after doing hair for 5, 6 days a week from the time I was 18 until 30, that just really opened my eyes to so many things that I never knew. And also coming from like a broadcast family, and they also have a big mouth that can't stop moving.
No, really? What?
Yes. Yeah, it's a surprise. I know, we're full of them today.
Have you always been this way?
Yes.
So open and...
Yes. I did like an interpretive dance in sixth grade, you know, in the talent show that Jimmy Kimmel found. I have always been this way. I think what's changed though is like my comfort level, because obviously I think being this person comes with... You know, there's certain people in the gay community that are like, you know, you're such a stereotype of what, you know, gay men shouldn't be, and it's so antiquated. And so my whole life I've had that response from people that, you know, gay men is like, oh, I don't believe it. It's, you know, you're this caricature of a gay man. And also straight people have said this to me as well.
Because what, you are flamboyant?
Just because I'm very flamboyant, and I do have this little, you know, I have my way of speaking, and I am feminine. And so I think that it's... easy for people to write that off as like not genuine, when in reality, like, that's just ingrained in me, just in the way that you have your hair or your eyes. It's just a part of who I am. But I'm also someone who wants to know about mass extinction, and I want to know about the LIGO study and gravitational waves, and but I also want to know about how bleach works, you know? So I think that getting curious, for me, that's what's been so fun about it, is that it gives me an opportunity to show that you can be flamboyant, you can be into wearing heels and dresses, but you can all, as a gay man, but you can also ask questions. I think it's just fun to be able to show that there's like more sides to me than like what might meet your eye initially.
Tell me more about how you feel about gender, because you refer to yourself sometimes as she, you refer to the show, you refer to inanimate objects as she sometimes. What does it mean to you?
Well, I think that gender is definitely something that has been constructed to keep people just defined, and maybe defined in ways that like hasn't necessarily been healthy for me in my life. You know, being a man to me looks like being engaged in a lot of toxic masculinity that's like really destructive and not necessarily authentic to what's in the hearts and souls of like men that practice the problematic behaviors that accompany toxic masculinity. Like, I don't think a lot of men are bad, but toxic masculinity is a big problem that is caused by like pressures that men face, and those have never really worked for me. What has worked for me is like strong women. Like, my grandma was the first thing I naturally started talking about, like, today. I think when I really call something she, it's like if I really think of something affectionately, I want to call it she.
Like your ice skating coach.
Yes.
Let's discuss ice skating.
Sure.
And in fact, you have the new tour, The Road to Beijing, yes, because you're going to the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm fully preparing for the Olympics. Yeah.
I want to hear more about the ice skating, because I think I'm going to be an ice skater, too.
Please do.
No, but I'm not.
Oh.
Really. But in my head, I am. But in
me
your
too.
Head, well, but you're, like, really skating.
Yeah, I got a little obsessed with it. I mean, I've always been obsessed with it, but now that I was like, oh, because like I think the reason I used to not do it was because like, A, it's expensive, and I was like running a business and raising two cats as a single father and like running a small salon in LA. So like, when was I going to have time to learn to figure skate? Like, if I broke my finger, who is going to do the hair and feed my cats? When it dawned on me that I could totally break both my wrists and still do my new job, I was in business. Let me just skate 4 hours a morning.
Have you had time to even stop and think, what happened here? I'm part of a hit show. I'm figure skating. I'm on a stand-up comedy tour. I'm at the Museum of Science in Boston. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I feel like I walk around in a constant state of shock. It is insane. But it's also, like, such a dream. Like, who gets to... It's amazing.
Why do you think it's happening? People have been lining up to get in and get their sold out seat. There's standing room only crowds here who are going to watch you on a screen.
Cry.
Sorry. Why do you think it's happening?
Wow, you're really going to make me cry. I think that there has been such a price put on like fitting in. And I think that people just want to see people that are real be real and be rewarded for just having the courage to be themselves and like not conform into this idea of like what they think they're supposed to look like to become successful.
You are welling up. You are welling up.
Yeah.
I mean, but it doesn't sound as if, I mean, I thought your story might be, well, I grew up in the Midwest and I wasn't accepted and now I have these moments. It sounds as if you and the people around you have accepted you for a while, and you've accepted yourself, it sounds like.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I think that close people and, like, myself for sure have fiercely advocated for myself. I definitely don't come from a place where I was accepted. But I think that's part of what people see in me is that, like, I came up from a place that was, like, completely intolerant of me being who I was, and I was able to, like, not lose who I am coming from a place that, like, didn't allow for me to be myself.
Hello! Welcome to... You guys are an amazing sight. Welcome to the Museum of Science.
Several hundred fans have now packed the Museum of Science Hall for the Getting Curious podcast taping with Professor Acemoglu. What are you going to ask this top professor in economics?
Well, Well, first of all, like, what is a trade deficit? And, like, is it an accurate thing to measure the strength of an economy? I'm also curious about, like, money laundering and, like, what is the damage of, like, money laundering? If, like, a bunch of people, like, you know, over at Trump Tower or whatever, like, just laundering the hell out of a bunch of Russian money, like, is that an ish?
Let's get loud. Please join me in welcoming Danny Curious and Jonathan Van.
I'm so grateful for it, but I also, sometimes when I stop and really look at how truly awesome and life-changing these opportunities and these moments are, I worry that if I, like, slow down long enough to, like, really look at it, I will get, like, paralyzed with fear. I think there is a level of, like, needing to fake it till you make it because you have a job to do.
But anyway, what is this trade deficit?
Okay. So the trade deficit is pretty straightforward.
We leave you with just a tease. The full podcast will be at herenow.org. One last question. How's my hair? I just had a trim. Is it okay?
Yeah, I love the shape of your hair. It's really pretty.
Oh, thank you. Vincent wanted to know.
Oh, no, Vincent's doing great. Like, Jonathan approved.
Our conversation last year with Jonathan Van Ness, our pledge this year, be more Jonathan.